Well, I thought Pastor was going to say it was an interesting year because I was the MAP resident, but COVID is probably a better reason. So, hey, I want to start off by saying thank you to the church for allowing us to be able to do this, for allowing me and Anna to be here for the past several months. Thank you to Pastor and the other staff for working with us and allowing us to be able to be here. And I was asked to give a testimony about the MAP program and give a 10-minute challenge. And so I just want to take a couple minutes. And I want to start off with kind of walking through what all is involved in the MAP program. Because growing up here, I don't know if I always understood what all took place in the MAP program. And so I want to give you some of the things that happens in the MAP program. I can't give you everything that happens in the MAP program because things are always changing, and one week is never like the next week. But I want to give you some of the main rocks, main things that I was doing each week while I was here. Each week, I had assignments that I turned in. One of those things were sermons. I would turn in sermons each week, at least one a week, and I outlined different books. I started with Romans, and there were 16 chapters in Romans, so I did 16 sermons from the book of Romans. A lot to cover in the book of Romans and only 16 sermons. But I would take these sermons, I would write them out, outline them, and I was able to have a whole book of the Bible outlined. And I was able to preach Romans 12, 1 and 2 to you all several months ago. I also outlined the book of Ephesians, did several different psalms. I didn't do the whole book of Psalms because I wasn't here that long, and many other things. I did Father's Day type sermons, Mother's Day sermons, Lord's Supper sermons, missions type sermons, lots of different things, and I at least turned in at least one a week, sometimes more, depending on the week and depending on what's going on. As well as the sermons, I turned in doctrinal papers. One paper per doctrine. And when I was here for the Sprint program, I started this, and that was one of my main projects then, but I was able to add to it some and add some new doctrines that I hadn't covered during that time. So I turned in those, one each month. I conducted interviews with several different people about lots of different things, from church buildings to witnessing to Muslims. Lots of different interviews with different people who had specialties in different areas. If you know Pastor at all, you know that I read some books, at least one or two. I read lots of books and would write my observations down. I would turn them in to the staff. They would review them with me. All of this stuff that I was doing, I would turn into the pastoral staff, and they would go over it with me each Thursday. We had a meeting. We covered lots of different things, the things that I had turned into them and things that they wanted to share with me, lots of different things. Other assignments that I had, those were some of the big main rocks that I did each and every week. As well as my assignments, I attended and taught in each Sunday school class and each ABC class. And that was a very neat opportunity. Many of you probably saw me in your classes. I sat in for the first week and observed, and then was able to teach the next week. Did that in Patch Club and Children's Church, all of these things. And it was a great opportunity, great way to get exposed to the different aspects of the ministry. I also got the opportunity to teach down at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission each Tuesday at 1 o'clock. I was down at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission and got to teach with those guys, and we had a good time and got to get to know those guys. And the Lord's working there, and do be in prayer for them, get to know them, and be in prayer for them. And that was a wonderful opportunity to be able to teach with them. I went on visits with Pastor. If Pastor went on a visit, I went with him. If Pastor went to a meeting, I went with him. I went wherever Pastor went, and we got to do lots of exciting things. I helped in Good News Club, and this year was very interesting. But I'm so thankful that though COVID was going on, and even though we couldn't get into the schools, we had some people that said, you know what, we can still do this via Zoom. So it was very unique, never done Good News Club through Zoom before, but we had a Zoom Good News Club. And it was awesome to see God work even through that. And there's four of us that did this, and we worked through it, and we had a good time. We were able to reach kids. And my pessimistic self, I looked at it and I said, well, I mean, it's on Zoom. Probably the kids won't be paying attention, or, you know, we probably won't have many kids. But you know what? God blessed even through my doubt. And what a blessing that was. I also got to help in Vacation Bible School, and that was a very exciting thing. Many of you saw the setup a couple weeks ago, right? And many of you all helped. Thank you all so much for your help. It could not have been done without your help. And what an exciting time VBS was. We had lots of kids come in. And if you were in the VBS training meeting, we talked about our goal for VBS. Our goal was helping kids take the next step, taking the next step spiritually in their life. We knew that for some kids that would mean taking a step of salvation, the first step to having a spiritual walk with God. For some kids, it was taking a step in realizing who God was and growing from that. Lots of different ways that a kid could take the next step, but our goal was to help children take the next step in their life. One of the children that came to VBS came from Good News Club, and it was neat to see God work. It wasn't just in VBS or just Good News Club. God used all of the opportunities to reach this kid. He was a Good News Club kid, and we could have just left him for the next year, said, well, you know, he didn't necessarily take a next step during Good News Club, but we'll just catch him next year, and hopefully we'll be in person and be able to get him. But we had some people that said, you know what, let's invite him to VBS. Maybe he'll make a next step there. So we invited the kids to VBS, and we had one of them show up. And he came the first day, and he was very shy, very shy kid, really nice kid, but shy. But as he got into VBS, his mom brought him. He started getting involved with the kids and started having fun. And he started answering questions. And God was working in his life. God had started working in his life back when he started coming to Good News Club. And continued to work through his life. And one of the nights of VBS, one of the workers was able to talk with this child and his mom and walk through the plan of salvation. And that day, that child took the next step, or the first step, really, in their spiritual walk. They accepted Christ as their Savior. And that was just a wonderful thing to be able to see God work. And it was through you all, the church. Everyone who had any part in Good News Club or in VBS had a part in this kid coming to Christ. And what a blessing that was. What an awesome opportunity we had. If you want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. As you turn there, I want to let you all know what we're doing. I know several of you know where we're going, but for those of you who do not know, me and Anna are moving. We are moving up to Gray, Tennessee, and it's outside of Johnson City in the Tri-City area, and we are going to be working there with a youth group. We're going to be the youth pastor there, and it's exciting. It's sad because, you know what, we're leaving family and church family. We're leaving friends. But we know God has a plan in all of it. And we're excited to follow God's plan for our life. And we don't know what all God has for us there, but we're excited to go and serve there and see what God has for us. So you turn to 1 Thessalonians. Look at verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Thessalonica. And the Thessalonians there have been called the model church. Some people call them the model church because when Paul wrote them, he didn't have a lot of correction to give them. It wasn't like the church in Corinth. He didn't have to correct them about a lot of sinful things or things going on in that church. He would, in chapter 4, have to correct a little bit of their doctrine. But for the most part, this church was doing the work God had them do. It was an awesome thing, and Paul is writing them and commending them for this. And he's saying, you all have become an example, church. You all have become an example to others around you. And I want to say to you, Stanley Heights Baptist Church, you all have become my example. I've grown up in this church. I've been here for 18 years, and I've watched you all. You all are my example, and I am thankful for the things that I've been able to see and the people that I've seen follow Christ and model that for me. So I want to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at some things that Paul was commending them for and take a look at some of these wonderful things that the church in Thessalonica were doing. First of all, Paul was thankful for their example. Verse 2, he said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And he was thankful for the church there in Thessalonica, and I am thankful for you all. And just because Anna and I are moving doesn't mean you all won't be in our prayer. And I hope you all will pray for us as we go on this adventure, on this journey that God has called us to. But I'm still thankful for you, and I still will be praying for you. Paul gives some ways that he is thankful, some specific ways. First, there are attributes. Verse number 3 says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." We see three attributes that Paul brings out here. It says, first, your work of faith. And here he's not saying that you worked to where you got enough faith to be saved. Paul is not saying that we get saved through our works. He's saying, because you are saved, you now do a work. And what is that work? Well, that is witnessing to people, right? That is growing in our relationship with Christ. It's assembling with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So work of faith is the first attribute. The second attribute he brings out is their labor of love. Whereas the work was focused on the deed, the labor is focused on their effort. 1 Corinthians 13:3 tells us, "And though I bestow all my good to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity or love, it profiteth me nothing." The Apostle Paul is saying, you know what? You all have labored in love. You have done these works of faith out of a heart of love. And in 1 Corinthians, he's saying, you know what? If we do lots of good things, it profits us nothing if we don't do it out of a heart of love. And I'm thankful that I got to grow up in a church that does works of faith out of a labor of love. I've been able to see the people here model the love of Christ. And looking at VBS, man, that took a lot of work to get VBS together, right? And lots of people were involved in that. But it was all out of a heart of love to reach these kids and help these children take the next step in their life. And for that, I am thankful. The third attribute Paul brings out is patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Patience of hope. When we think of hope, we hope that we get $100, right? Someone gives us $100. Or we might hope for a quiet evening at home. Or if we're in school, we hope that we don't get a lot of homework, right? This is our desire. But Pastor talked about this morning, biblical hope is a confident expectation. A confident expectation. And the people, the Thessalonians, had a confident expectation that Christ would return. And that's how we should be living our life. Realizing, you know what, Christ will return, and one day we're going to stand before him and give account for all that we've done. And I'm thankful that this church keeps the end in mind, realizing, you know, one day we are going to stand before Christ. If we realize we're going to stand before Christ, it's going to cause us to do some things, right? We're going to seek a relationship with God. We're going to desire to tell others, because, you know, one day they're going to stand before God too. And if we have not been faithful to give them the gospel, then they're going to spend an eternity separated from God. But it's also going to cause us to love others. Keeping the end in mind. And Paul is commending this church in Thessalonica that they kept the end in mind. And thank you, church, for keeping the end in mind and helping me see, you know, there is an end to all of this. And God does have a plan. So not only was Paul thankful for their attributes, but he was also thankful for the gospel that they had. And it's the same gospel we have today. Look at verse 4. "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He was saying, I am thankful that you are saved. And they proved to Paul that they were saved because of their work of faith, because of their labor of love, and because of their patience of hope. Paul said, because I see this fruit, I know that you truly are saved. Paul was able to share the gospel with them when he traveled there with confidence. And we can do the same today. Verse 5, look at verse 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel can be shared with confidence because of three things. First of all, power. It's powerful, right? It's not just a message that we share with people. It's something that's life-changing. And Paul is telling the church there, he's saying, hey, the gospel you have is powerful. But not only is it powerful, it's backed by the Holy Ghost, right? The Holy Ghost is the one that does this work of convicting people of their sins and showing them their need of a Savior. But then the third reason the gospel can be shared with confidence is because it works. And Paul brings that out at the end. He says, you all saw us. Not only did the Holy Spirit confirm it in your life that this was truth, but you saw in our life that we were following God. And the gospel does work today. And I'm thankful to see a church that the gospel is a priority to them. Stanley Heights has made reaching others with the gospel important, because that's important to God. And the gospel works, and it's powerful. And the Holy Ghost does truly still work today. Paul was thankful for their example. He was thankful for their example in their attributes, their example in the gospel that they had, but he was also thankful for their outcome. Verse number 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Paul says here, you ended up, after you received the gospel, you became followers of me and of Timothy and of Silas. But more importantly, you became a follower of Jesus Christ. And in Stanley Heights, I've been able to watch people follow Christ. There are afflictions that come in life, but Paul says, even through these, they were able to have joy because they were following Christ, because the Holy Spirit was in their life. Now, I've seen people in our church go through hard times, but God's been good through it. And I've seen them have joy even through the difficult things. And I'm so thankful for your example in that. Not only should we be thankful for our example, but we need to strive to become an example. Paul, in verse 7, he says, so that ye were ensamples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. He says, these two specific places, you were examples to them, specifically. We should strive to be an example, first of all, in witness, in our witness. Verse 8, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul says, y'all had such an effective, I don't know if Paul was Southern, I don't know if he said y'all, but he said, y'all had such an effective ministry of reaching people with the gospel that I don't have to correct you. They were focused on not only locally, not only regionally, but globally. And I'm thankful for Stanley Heights making this a priority. We don't only just reach Chattanooga, we reach the region around us. Not only do we just reach the region around us, but we give to missions so we can reach the world. And it's such an effective model, and God has us doing all three at the same time, and I'm thankful to see Stanley Heights do that. And that is my goal when I leave from here, is not to forget these things that I've seen, but to be able to do these things wherever God takes me. So he says they became an example in their witness, but also in their change. Verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul said, as we traveled, people would tell us about your ministry because you had reached them with the gospel before we got there. And as we got there, they would tell us, oh yeah, the people from Thessalonica, they came over and told us about you and how you came and witnessed to them and how they had turned from idols to serve the one true God. Truth will set us free. And what a blessing it is that, you know what, we do see a change in our lives with the gospel. The gospel changes our life. And I'm thankful to see the gospel change people's lives here. And I've seen in your life, but in my own life, God working and changing us to become more like him. The third thing that Paul says that they have become an example in is in their expectation. And we've talked about this a little bit, but Paul recaps it in verse 10. He says, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul again commends them for their example in expecting Christ to come. They're living with the end in mind. So are we living with the end in mind? Because if we're living with the end in mind, we're going to be having works of faith. We're going to be laboring in love. And we will definitely be looking for Christ's return. I want to just say thank you to this church for your example to me. And we're excited to go to Gray, Tennessee and serve God there. But I'm thankful for what God has done in my life here at this church. Thank you to each and every one of you who has invested in me and in my wife. And thank you, Pastor and Pastor Ed and church, for your example to me.
Boy. You know, when you think about this wonderful challenge and the way that the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, and Brother Kyle really brought this out, to wait for his son, who's delivered us from the wrath to come, it is so good to remember that one day Jesus is coming. And to live, and he put it this way, with the end in mind. And I hope that God has even tonight spoken to your heart about the power of example. The power of example and living your life realizing that there is an end. So when you get to the end of it and you face the Lord, that you'll look back and you will with joy be grateful for how you've invested the life that you've lived. And I believe that the Lord is speaking to individuals about this even tonight. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please. And I will not do a normal invitation as we often do, but I do want you to really consider what the Lord would have for you and what this means. What kind of example am I, and how do I want my life to be lived? And so at the end of it, when I see Jesus, how I'll reflect on my life. That's challenging, isn't it? I'm going to pray and ask God to really burn this into our hearts. And so, Lord, it is, as Brother Kyle opened the scriptures to us, and this power of example and the reality of the people that we are. And Lord God, we thank you that you spoke to us and that you've spoken through your word, you spoke through our preacher tonight. And it causes us to live, I think, with a different expectation. And to live our lives in light of the return of Jesus. So, Lord, thank you for it all. We thank you for Kyle and Anna, and we're grateful that they were able to spend these months with us in MAP ministry. And we do pray for the very best things that you have.